2003. It's work session on Senate Bill 5507, the State Commission on Children and Families. And as you know, when we do work session, unless we have something specifically that we need to ask the agency about, and there may be questions of the agency today. But with that, I'll turn it over to Ms. Baker so she can walk us through the memorandum that you received on the 22nd, which was last week.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, there is a memorandum dated May 22nd. I believe actually you received it Friday morning, the 23rd. So we'll walk through that. There are some other pieces of information. You've been provided with a funding summary showing the commission's budget for the last several biennium. So that's some additional information that's available to you as we work through this. The memo summarizes the major elements of the governor's budget. It's been a while. This was in February, I believe, when we actually had the budget hearings on this agency. So it's been a while and wanted to refresh your memory. In terms of policy packages, I wanted to note the limited duration position that was requested, other funds to write grants, and then a package that transfers the Children's Ombudsman Program, or based on a transfer of the Children's Ombudsman Program to Department of Human Services. They're already doing that by interagency agreement. This would, in association with substantive legislation, take all of the funding out of the Commission on Children and Families and move it to Department of Human Services. We looked at the vacant positions. The list we got had 17 separate vacancies, 9 of which weren't actually included in the governor's budget. So I gave you all this information because depending on who you are, you may define vacancies differently. But the 8 vacancies included 5 state commissioner positions, all of which were unfunded in terms of personal services, but and several of those were filled, but they're not staff-level positions, so we didn't analyze those in terms of potential reductions. There was a new position that I just talked about for the program resource developer that is showing up on the system as vacant, even though the agency cannot hire it at this point. And there are 2 positions that I would count as real vacancies, current staff, where the positions had no one in them. And those 2 positions are recommended for abolishment as part of the adjustments in this budget. We looked at the other in federal funds ending balances. There's basically the accounts in this agency. There's no other fund or federal fund account that retain a balance of a trust fund or something of that nature. What there are accounts related to the birth filing fees for the Children's Ombudsman Program, and those balances would be transferred to the Department of Human Services in association with that. And then the federal grant funds accounts relate to being able to match the federal revenues up with the state fiscal year, and just it's a cash flow issue of how those funds are treated, so that they're not building ending balances in the sense that, say, a licensing board or another funds agency or an agency that operates with other funds solely would be building. So for that reason, we don't recommend any adjustments to those accounts at this point. So on page 2 of our memo, we get into the recommended adjustments, and I've tried to summarize those on the attached spreadsheet, and that's what I'd like to work through. Not the detailed spreadsheet, but the one-page summary. On the top it says Senate Bill 5507, State Commission on Children and Families, Summary of Recommended Adjustments to Governor's Budget. So as you can see, the first 2 lines on that worksheet are the rate and assessment reductions that you've seen in other budgets based on the legislative reductions to the Attorney General budgets and the Department of Administrative Services budget. So in this agency, there's small reductions in those 2 line items. The next section reflects additional reductions called for in the co-chair's budget or other LFO recommended adjustments. There's a merit freeze adjustment. It's about $40,000 general fund savings in this agency. And I will note that that number would have been higher, except that we were eliminating a number of positions later on. And so in order not to double count those savings, you have to eliminate positions that would have otherwise had merit increases. And showing on the merit increase line items, all of those savings are down under the reducing technical assistance and central office staff line items. So we don't double count those savings. So these merit savings reflect only those positions that are recommended to continue into 03-05. The vacant position savings are included below. Just so you will know, it's about $100,000 general fund related to those two vacant positions. Inflation increase savings. This budget did not take a specific general fund inflation reduction being labeled that, but the reductions that it took were much more than what any inflationary increase would have been, and so we did not double count an inflation general fund reduction. We took out the other funds and federal funds that was associated with just the inflation reduction on those funding streams. Now we get into the most significant reductions. These are the other co-chaired reductions that were specified in the co-chair's detailed budget. Item number one there is the staffing reductions. I'll just go through these at a real high level and then talk about more detail. So item one is the staffing reductions, and I've broken out the personal services savings and then the associated services and supply savings. Item number two would eliminate the balance of the funding that was added in the current biennium for evaluation and publications related to the expanded Oregon Children's Plan. Item number three makes a reduction in the $12 million total funds that's going to local commissions for their staffing and programmatic activities. Item number four is a further reduction to the Healthy Start program. Item number five is a further reduction to crisis relief nurseries. And then item number six would shift other funds now used for youth investment grants, shift $4 million of that money into other areas of the budget, freeing up general fund that then is eliminated from the budget for savings. So those six items reflect specified reductions in the co-chair's budget. Now, let me get into a little more detail on each of those. The technical assistance and central office staff reductions, the agency provided before and after organization charts so you could see what the impact of those reductions are. By and large, what it does is eliminate almost all of the policy and planning function for the agency. Most of the positions that are proposed to be eliminated would be in that area. So you have 11 positions and 11.50 FTE that is being reduced. Now, the personal services numbers are net of an estimated increase in unemployment compensation cost there, so they've taken that into account. Services and supplies reductions include such things as reduced rent, reduced travel, reduced phone. There are a number of functions that, with the elimination of these positions, the agency will contract for. So Healthy Start technical assistance and program Healthy Start program evaluation are items that they will contract for. They've eliminated a personnel position. They will contract with the Department of Administrative Services to perform their payroll and personnel functions. So in some cases, there's an offsetting cost, but the net effect is not over $900,000 of general fund savings.
Madam Chair.
Senator Bonney.
If we could back up and talk again about the policy and planning piece, that is the removal of how many positions?
Madam Chair and Senator Gordley, if you look at the before and after charts, on the right-hand side, there were 8 positions dedicated to policy and planning. And I believe out of those 8, there is one position that is retained and the structure has changed, but the programmatic impact, if you will, is that the commission will have significantly less resources to focus on the local comprehensive planning process. So the Senate Bill 555 requirements that communities develop comprehensive plans for children's and family services, that effort, there was a big push on that in this past biennium, the past two biennium. They are at the point now where they have local plans in place, and it's felt that to some extent there is less need for central state assistance in that area. But it will slow down, I believe, the ability of the state to help improve those plans, to help communities revise those plans, and so there will be some programmatic impact there.
And, Madam Chair, thank you. Follow up. It would be helpful to understand then what specific policy and planning efforts would continue with the reduced staff. How would that work be prioritized?
Donna. Good afternoon. I'm Donna Middleton. I'm the director of the State Commission on Children and Families. Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, the Policy and Planning Unit of the Commission not only provided support to community comprehensive planning, but it provided support to help communities, mobilize communities, get volunteers into their process, help to look at services around populations, help to look at cultural and gender services. All of those things, providing technical assistance to the community, are part of what we have reduced as our loss in staff. And so what we'll be concentrating on is more programmatic areas versus community areas. Programmatic areas like Healthy Start, court-appointed special advocates, services to positive youth development opportunities, and those things. We will be less concentrating on community supports than we were in previous years.
Madam Chair, thank you. What was the third one? Healthy Start, CASA, and
Positive youth development, and also crisis relief nurseries.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Representative Bates.
Madam Chair, I'm just trying to get my arms around this a little bit and see what this thing really means, because it's just a bunch of boxes connected by dots and arrows. What does it mean for delivering your program, and what does it mean for maintenance of effort? And I noticed there's a grant writer that was in there and is now gone. Is that a resource person? Is that a rename? Have you lost your grant writer in this? Some flesh on this thing.
We have on the grant writer issue, one of the policy packages in the budget is to increase that from 0.50 FTE to a full FTE. So the grant writer is there. In fact, we believe that the grant writer is a necessity for this organization.
So that's the resource developer you're calling them now?
Yes.
Okay.
I might want for the just information for the panel, for the members. This is probably one of the, in fact, it's one budget where the commission and various members came into the building and worked their budget, and I mean truly worked their budget, to the point to where, you know, I believe in all my years of doing budgeting, of working in this building, that they honestly came to the table. And they honestly looked at the situation that we're in as a state and honestly put forth what they believe that they could work with. This does not totally reflect, nor this chair would recommend that, and we'll go into that a little later, because I think that as those of you who know me know how supportive I am of children's issues, and to assure that this state is investing in both the preventive as well as those services that we need to make families whole. But I needed to point out that this body of all of the budget work groups in this building did an outstanding and incredible job with commissioners coming in from around the state, those members, with the crisis relief nurseries and others. It was a very, very good working committee. And I want to thank you publicly on the record for the job that you did, and because you did a yeoman's job. And your honesty does not go unnoticed by this chair. In wanting to be a part of the solution in this building, I wish that all the other groups would have come to the table as open and honest as you did, and I thank you for it. Griffin Bates.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could you tell me, in that policy package here, but you have 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 of cuts in the children's plan, basic capacity for grant local commissions, Healthy Start, Lead Nursery, Youth Investment. Do you prioritize those, what you would want to see bought back first? Or do you have a priority list for those?
Chair Winters, Representative Bates, we have not gone through an exercise to prioritize. I am aware that the local commissions were asked by their coalition to look at prioritizing their 1, 2, and 3. And it's my understanding that it was a tie, if you will, between Healthy Start and Youth Investment. That's my understanding. We have not asked for a formal prioritization of that list.
Madam Chair, I would note that on this spreadsheet, items 1 through 5 are reflective of the priorities that the work group came up with. They had developed 10, 20, and 30% reduction options, not obviously hoping for those levels of reduction, but saying if you took a 10 or if you took a 20 or if you took a 30% reduction, this is how we think you should take it. So on this list, items 1, 2, 3, and part of 4 were included in the first 10%. Additional reductions in Healthy Start, which is item 4, and then the crisis relief nursery reductions were part of the 20% reductions. And then item 6, the youth investment grant, that was a separate co-chair's reduction. The work group did not address that particular reduction. So as you're looking at this, 1 through 5 is consistent with how the local and state people came together and made recommendations in terms of further reductions from the governor's budget. Again, not advocating for those, but saying if you take them, this is how we think they should fall out.
Madam Chair?
Senator Gordley.
Thank you. Looking at this this list and the way it is prioritized, it brings to mind the Oregon Pre-K program, and I understand that's not under your auspices, but in the total scheme of things, how are you looking at the Oregon Pre-Kindergarten program and its fit with the direction that you're moving the commission? And what would you want us to be mindful of as we look at it's in another budget, Department of Education. You're following the drift.
Oh, yes. Chair Winters, Senator Gordley. Pre-kindergarten supports, which is part of the Head Start situation in the Department of Education, is a very viable and vital part of the early childhood system in this state. Healthy Start, crisis relief nurseries, all depend on the good work and support of the pre-kindergarten dollars that go into the Department of Education. They're a highly valued partner in this process. They're necessary. The reason we're here today talking about those services that you see before you is because we highly believe that prevention is something that we should, as a state, begin to support. the pre-kindergarten funds would fall into that category and are an integral part to the work that we do.
Thank you.
Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is there any guideline within government with respect to when deputy directors are needed and when they're not in terms of the scope and size of an agency?
Madam Chair, Senator Morris, I don't know of any particular guidelines that we've dealt with. I know most agencies of this size or what would be remaining of this size would probably have a deputy. Generally, and I am generalizing here, generally what you'll find is that the deputy is involved with much of the administrative day-to-day operational stuff, and the director is involved with the policy and the communicating with the constituents of the agency and the stakeholders that are involved in that.
Thank you.
All right. If we go back to the list, are we wanting to move to item number two
already?
Okay. This is contract money or services and supplies money that was added to the commission's budget last biennium relative to the statewide children's plan effort. At this point, most of the programmatic pieces, with the exception of the Healthy Start expansion, a lot of that has been removed from the agency's budget. At some point, it would be useful to have an evaluation of the statewide system in terms of children's services, but the idea was that at this point that was less important than some of the programmatic pieces in terms of funding. Number three on the list, reduce the basic capacity grant to local commissions. Again, this biennium, there was an effort to consolidate the local support pieces into one grant stream, so it's a $12 million funding stream in the governor's budget. This reduces that by about $1.4 million. It is all general fund at the state level. Item number four, the reduction in the Healthy Start Home Visitation Program. This is an additional reduction from the governor's budget. The governor's budget, you may remember, funded it to serve about 65% of first birth families on average over the biennium. It maintained that by shifting a little over $5 million from the county's flexible funding streams into the Healthy Start program. This reduction would take it down to serving about 45% of first birth families. So it's a further reduction from the governor's level. It would still be a statewide program, just serving fewer families. And there is a federal Medicaid match that comes to the commission as other funds that this reduction would also reflect a reduction in that Medicaid match. Item number five is a reduction in the crisis relief nurseries. This is dedicated funds to those particular programs. And there was a small reduction in the governor's budget for that. This would take it down almost another $300,000. I should note that if you're looking for comparison numbers in terms of programmatic items, there is the sheet that the agency has prepared, and it will give you an idea of overall what the co-chair's reductions, the last column there, shows comparable funding levels. This is total funds, not just general funds, but it does show comparable funding levels for the various programs and grant streams. As I mentioned, items 1 through 5 were basically consistent with this work group's recommendations in terms of where to take the reductions. In addition, as we were looking at the budget, we looked at the youth investment other funds. These are federal social services block grants that come to this commission through the Department of Human Services. They're very, very flexible funding. You can use them for children's programs. You can use them for services for the elderly and disabled. You could use them for families. There's many things you could use them for. By policy choice and by continuing agreement, some of that funding has come from the Department of Human Services to the Commission to support youth investment grants. These are the grants. This is another flexible funding stream for the counties to serve adolescents. The co-chair's budget, again, would cut that funding stream in half, basically, or cut the resources in half for that program, backfill general fund in the crisis relief nursery line items and the flexible children, youth, and families grant, and then the amount that was backfilled frees up general fund, and they would take that as overall savings. Now, in discussing the co-chair's budget, it was... this was an issue. This was not consistent with the work group's recommendation. A number of people that we heard from had problems with this, and so Senator Winters and the co-chair came up with an alternative, which I will hand out, and we can go over that. Basically, the idea was don't get to a similar level of funding for the commission overall, but don't they make this reduction in the youth investment fund. Instead, take it in the Healthy Start and Crisis Relief Nurseries in additional reductions. So I will hand that out to you now.
Ms. Baker's passing those out. Just so you know, it is not my intent to vote this budget out today. There's still some questions, and there's still some negotiations that need to take place with respect to this particular budget. But I did believe that we needed to walk through it so everybody has a clear understanding of what's, you know, what's inside the budget. Particularly of even though we gain an additional $500,000 with the change, there's still some issues that I need to talk. We need to have a discussion with the co-chairs with, and that is making certain, as you know, that we do continue to have structure with programs, that we're not decimating programs to the point that locally they cannot operate. And so of issue is still Healthy Start and Crisis Relief Nurseries. So I needed to put that on record. This chair is very committed to making certain that we keep a structure in place and that we don't decimate what we started, and so you needed to know that. So there's still some further discussion that needs to be held with respect to this budget. Sheila.
On the alternative worksheet that I just handed out, items 4, 5, and 6 are where there are differences from the materials that you got last week. You can see the Healthy Start general fund reduction is almost $10 million compared to $6.5 million in the initial co-chair's budget. The crisis relief nurseries funding is $340,000 general fund down instead of $284,000 general fund less. So by making those shifts and taking additional reductions in those areas, that offsets about $3.5 million of the $4 million youth investment reduction that was initially in the co-chair's budget. The bottom line general fund then is about $450,000 higher than in the original co-chair's budget. Because of the additional reduction in on the Medicaid side, because of the Healthy Start reduction, though, your total funds are virtually the same.
Question.
Representative Smith.
On the first budget, the Healthy Start, you said it lowered the number of families served at 40% to 45%. Now that we were able to shift some funds in there, is that back up to what the governor's recommended it? What percentage are we serving then?
What, in effect, this alternative does is to further reduce the number of families
we'd
be able
That's
to
right.
serve.
Yeah.
So we're we're shifting funds to the extent that we're taking more out of it, it would be at about 35 or 36% of first verse is the estimate. So of the 18,000 or so first births every year, theoretically a little over a third of those families you'd be able to provide some kind of services for.
The level that we were at was at 45%.
45%.
And this takes us
back to 35.
The governor was actually at 65%. And we went to 45. This takes us even further. It erodes it even further. And that's part of the discussion that needs to be held.
So are there other questions on those reductions?
Concern.
There's concerns.
Strong concerns.
Okay. Then the other adjustment on the spreadsheet here relates to policy package 435. That's the resource developer position in the governor's budget. It's a one-half FTE. The idea is that this position would be able to generate grant funding, other resources. It's an other funds position. With the other staffing reductions that are proposed here, the agency requested that that be increased to a full-time FTE. Again, still funded with other funds, with the expectation being that obviously if this position doesn't generate the revenues to fund itself, then it's not going to stay there. And there's a budget note that we'll get to that relates to that. So I don't have a recommended budget at this point, but there are these two alternatives here at this time, and you can see what the bottom line totals are. The initial co-chair's budget was a 25% general fund reduction from the governor's budget level, and the agency had already taken significant reductions in the governor's budget. Then the alternative is a 24% general fund reduction from the governor's budget level.
I'm okay.
Okay. So going back then to the memorandum, about in the middle of the page, I do want to note that at this point, the co-chair's budget and the governor's budget both assume that the Children's Ombudsman would be transferred to Department of Human Services. There are two bills right now in Ways and Means that would accomplish that, but in the off chance that neither bill passes and this budget gets passed out, is the agency can come back, would need to come back to the emergency board to get other funds expenditure limitation to basically pay the Department of Human Services to continue doing the services that it had. So I just wanted to make sure that was noted. Then moving down to the budget notes, the first budget note addresses the new resource developer position, basically saying we want you to come back and report to the next legislature on the effectiveness of this position in terms of generating revenues from whatever source, basically, to cover the costs and provide some programmatic dollars, ideally. And the second budget note relates to an effort that Department of Administrative Services has begun working with agencies to match up accounting and budget structures, and the memo says the commission needs significant change in that area. Between the time I wrote the memo and today, we've identified that it's not significant change. The commission does need to make a few tweaks to make those things line up. But there is a budget note that's suggested there that would be included in the budget, just to make sure that the commission comes back and reports next session on the fact that they've lined those pieces up.
Since it isn't significant, could we take the word since we have to come back anyway to pass this budget out, that we take the significant out and put the language that is more appropriate?
If I write another memo, I will be happy to take the significant out. Then the other issue is performance measures. with the reductions in staffing and the programmatic reductions that are anticipated in the co-chair's budget, even if some pieces of that comes back, it's not expected that the staffing pieces would be back. And so what the commission has identified of the seven performance measures that they originally presented to this subcommittee, that they would like to modify those so that, in effect, they only track and report on three of them, one relating to Healthy Start, and they would modify that so that the measure more closely ties with child maltreatment rates, which is a Oregon benchmark. So they would have a Healthy Start performance measure. They would have a performance measure that addresses the ability of the local commissions to meet their targeted outcomes. And then they would have a measure related to locally leveraged funds, so that they would have those three measures. They would not report on court-appointed special advocates as a separate performance measure. They would still get data on that program, but would not have that as a separate performance measure. They would not report on volunteer hours, because that's an additional piece. And then there were two measures related to the statewide planning process that they would also dispense with if these amendments are approved. And you may want to have the agency come up and address that.
Yes, I'm looking, Madam Chair.
Senator Gordon.
Thank you. The statement that we heard earlier from Ms. Middleton is that the agency will be concentrating on several areas programmatically. Healthy Start, CASA program, positive youth development, and crisis relief nurseries. So it would seem that if those are the areas of concentration, that we would want to see performance measures that also match up with the areas of concentration. Mm-hmm. But that's not quite what I'm hearing.
Chair Winters, Senator Gordley, we will be tracking all the performance measures of all the programs that we currently support. We are in the middle of developing an evaluation tool and reporting and database for crisis relief nurseries that you will be able to get reports on when you need them, and we will get reports on it. We also have a CASA about court-appointed special advocates. and we will be getting performance measures on those as well. So while they aren't part of our statewide performance measures, we'd be happy to provide those at any time. We will continue to collect that data. We were asked through this performance measures for state agencies not to do every single performance measure that we have, but to pick out the high level measures that might be significant to a statewide process, and that's what we did. However, we will be tracking all of those performance measures. They just won't be part of the statewide tracking mechanism.
I would think, and I know that we've had this discussion on performance measures in the past, that from a budget committee standpoint, that the outcomes of what the, whether you're talking about CASA or crisis relief nurseries and those programs are doing, becomes very important to us when we set up here making budgetary decisions. So even though they may not be statewide, they are absolutely critical when we're talking about resource allocation. And so I put them at a real high level, and I understand, you know, that the Healthy Start is the statewide rollout, but those others are critical, right, and very important. Uh-huh. So I would encourage you to put those just as high on that priority list as the others that are, quote, statewide, unquote.
Senator Winters, they are on that same level. They just weren't part of the performance measures that we discussed with the Progress Board, but they are there.
And you may want to revisit and have some conversation with the Progress Board. We've been talking to them that we think that the statewide measures should reflect more closely some of the budget items that this body expects to have outcome data and information on. I think it makes it a lot easier, quite frankly, to look at the performance measures in terms of budget. And even though they're looking at overarching a piece underneath those subsets can be those things that are inside the budget. So,
Madam Chair, I would note on the performance measure regarding the local commission outcomes in terms of meeting their targets, that there was some interest expressed in having not only that performance measure on a statewide basis, but also having when the agency comes back to the subcommittee next time to have some county-by-county data in terms of how each county is meeting the measures for their particular programs that they've funded. And the commission's indicated that they would be able to provide that data.
Any other questions? Do you want to approve this piece? You know, I really don't. I want to wait and to approve the package once we have had our further discussion and not to take out pieces to approve it. I think we need an overall discussion on this budget. What I would like is that if the members have not received it, there was a document that was produced by the Commission on Children and Families that actually, with their recommendation on the budget that talks about the 10, 20, and 30%. If members of this body do not have not had a copy of it or somehow lost it someplace, if you would get a copy of that to them, it was the work product that was done by the work group. And it might assist in when we got this piece here. This one here, if you can get them a copy of that document. And just understand that the one piece that was not on this document that is in the co-chair's recommendation is the youth investment piece. So it was not a part of the original discussion and was a part of discussion later. But this gives you a frame of reference of what the work group themselves did. I, like I said earlier, I commend them for all their work that they did and the honesty in coming to the table of talking about where, if they had to take reductions, where those reductions should be, and also what the implications are. What happens to the program if we get to 20% and 30%. It was a lot of work that was well done, and I would like to share it with you so that when we come back to actually vote out this budget that you will have reviewed that as well. Yes? Senator Carter. Oh, I'm good. Any other questions? With that, you'll be back on your budget. And I would want to go through the members of our schedule for the rest of this week. I'm going to close the work session on this budget since we're not passing out and just open for an informational discussion. And Ms. Baker, what's for the rest of this week?
Tomorrow we have 4 federal grant applications. We're trying to collate the information and get it to you this afternoon. One of them you've seen before, the population-based birth defects surveillance programs, and there are 3 new grants that you haven't seen before. And then on Thursday, we will be scheduling Senate Bill 146 for a public hearing only. That's relating to the Mental Health Council. So we will have meetings each day this week through your regular Thursday.
The sun is out, but you have to stay in and work. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you.